We're entering the festive season and naturally our thoughts will turn to the big day or perhaps New Year celebrations. It's the one time of year when we often push the boat out with food and drink, and a spot of something fizzy is often on the agenda. For those looking for a change from their usual bubbly this Christmas, Which magazine have looked into affordable alternatives to champagne. Denby's Wine Estate in Dorking, the largest wine producer in the country, gained the highest score in a panel taste test. On the line to talk about the winning wine is Denby's CEO, Chris White. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Congratulations on winning the Which taste test. Was it a surprise? Did you even know Denby's?
No, it was a huge surprise for us. I mean, the Which magazine is an independent panel, so that they pick up the wines that they want to choose from it. And some eminent wine writer and masters of wine were involved with the taste test. And to beat other European established sparkling wine producers is really exciting for us.
And let's just do a whistle-stop tour of into the art of sparkling wine, if you will. Now, the legend is that champagne, for example, was invented by a Benedictine monk, Dom Perignon, but that's not actually true, is it?
No, that's right. I think there are long-established theories that it was actually started in here in the UK many obviously years ago, I think they perfected the process over in Champagne, but we believe it originated here in the UK many years ago.
Just goes to show when you do research that things can not actually pan out how you think, because I actually read the oldest recorded sparkling wine was Blanquette de Limoux, which was invented by Benedictine monks in 1531, and they achieved this by bottling the wines before the initial fermentation had ended. I don't know if this is true, though. You'll have to put me right on this. Century later, British scientist Christopher Mere, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, to be perfectly honest, documented the addition of sugar to a finished wine to create a second fermentation. Is that right?
Yeah, we believe so, yes.
Yep. And that's obviously, 6 years before even Dom Perignon set foot in an abbey.
Exactly. No, that is true. So, it was, we believe it started here, but then perfected over in the continent in the Champagne region. And then, again, it's the stars of grapes that they grew in the future, which gave it that classic blend, the classic taste, which everyone knows.
And the thing is, I mean, in France, the first sparkling wine was actually created accidentally, wasn't it? I mean, because at the time, bubbles were actually considered to be a fault.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a secondary fermentation process. Quite often, you like the yeast to die in the wine, and then you're left with the still wine. But you're right, if there's still some live yeast available and the sugar still there, the minute you put a cork on the bottle, any CO2 produced by the fermentation process is kept in the liquid, and therefore it makes sparkling wine. So yes, it was deemed at the time as a fault in the wine, but obviously it's proved to be very, very popular over the years.
I have to say, actually, it was also very lucky that the 1600s English glassmakers had managed to construct bottles that could cope really with the internal pressures created in that second fermentation. Bottles wouldn't explode.
Absolutely. I think they're still finding some old shipwrecks, they're still finding some champagne bottles still with their corks in it, because of the pressure down at great depths with the strength of glass that they have down there is still sort of standing up to this day.
And luckily it's no longer called the devil's wine, le vin du diable. Because of those bottles exploding or corks popping.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So Meret, he documented the champagne method in the mid-1600s, and then it was eventually adopted in the 19th century. But let's just fast forward to the here and now. In EU countries, Chris, legally, only sparkling wine that comes from the Champagne region of France can actually be called champagne. But are the methods you use at Denby's to make sparkling wine exactly the same?
Absolutely. We can't call it champagne because our wine is not produced in the Champagne region of France, but our wine is bottle fermented, so Prosecco is tank fermented wine, and there are other ways of making sparkling wine, but the traditional champagne method is to bottle ferment it. And to show a fine wine, when you get a very crisp, smooth mousse at the top of your sparkling wine and very fine bubbles in there, it shows how long it's been on the lees, which means the yeast has been in the bottle for a length of time. So if you went through the secondary fermentation process and you'd left it for sort of 9-10 months and you pop the crown cap, which you do have at the time, you'll find that the bubbles in your sparkling wine is like Coca-Cola, very, very fizzy, and not very refined. So the quality wine, we leave our wines in bottle for at least 3 years, which gives it very fine bubbles, very fine mousse, and also you get all the flavours from the yeast that you want in your sparkling wine to make it like a very traditional champagne style of wine.
Talk us through, actually, Chris, how a bottle of your award winner, it's Chalk Valley Sparkling Brut, isn't it? How that's made, how long the process takes from maybe grape to harvest,
right,
each bottle?
Well, if you're a new vineyard, it's absolutely eye-watering. It will take you at least 8 years to get something back from the vineyard. As an established vineyard, it's a lot shorter than that. It's three to four years. What happens, we pick the grapes in the vineyard. We have to pick them by hand, so we don't damage the skins at all, because we use red grapes as well as white grapes in that process. And obviously, if you damage the red skins, you get the red pigment coming out into the juice, so we very carefully press the grapes.
And how many, what quantity of grapes are we talking about needed to produce a bottle, for example?
Well, with sparkling wine, you need a lot more grapes than you would for a still wine, because you use a lot less of the juice in a sparkling wine. So we're looking at about six bunches, probably, for a sparkling wine. So hence the reason why it does make it from the very beginning, makes it that much more expensive to produce. So you press the grapes very carefully, and then you may put some of that wine into oak barrels to get certain flavours from the oak that you may want in your wine. It then goes through the first fermentation process, a maturation process, and then approximately 6-7 months later on, once you've reached the right amount of tank or barrel maturation, we then put it into bottles with a little bit more sugar, a little bit more yeast, to then start going through the secondary fermentation process in bottle. And as I say, that can take anything up to 3 to 4 years, which we leave in our cellars, and then we go through a very expensive process at the very, very end of it to get the yeast out of the bottle. It used to be very manual. We used to have to twist the bottles by hand to get all that yeast from the inside of the bottle up to the very neck of the bottle. We then have to freeze the neck of the bottle, so the yeast then acts as a little ice plug in the bottle. Then we then have to pop off the crown cap, and the yeast ice plug flies off the bottle, out of the bottle. We then have to top it up with sweeter wine. It's called Sus Reserve, because, as we mentioned a minute ago, that all the sugars in the bottle will turn into alcohol and be fermented out dry. So we have to rebalance the flavours of the wine again. And then we put our the big champagne cork into the bottle, and we put the wire cage to stop the corks from flying off. And then we wash the bottles, because it's been down in the cellars for 3 years. We wash the bottles, and then we label it, and then we'll leave it in the winery for at least another month before we send it out to our customers.
Wow, that is some process.
It
I
is.
Wasn't
it's
expecting
three,
to hear
three
all
to
that.
3 to 4 years, yeah.
Wow. And for a long time, English wines have been viewed as a bit of a sort of premium drink, really, but we're now seeing them almost sort of taking precedent over champagne as our drink of choice. Why do you think English wine is becoming more and more popular?
Well, it's the quality. It's all been driven by the quality of what we produce now. We've invested a lot of money over time. We have the economies of scale here now. English wine industry used to be very much a cottage industry. Therefore, it made the wines very expensive, and there was quite a bit of fluctuation in quality on a year-by-year basis. But there's been a lot of investment in the industry, and quality has been key. There's been a new quality wine scheme which was introduced 20 odd years ago, which means it has to be quality approved first. Again, people, we enter international awards, and people know now when they buy a bottle of English sparkling wine, it will be the utmost quality of sparkling wine they'll be buying. So that's made a lot of difference. And again, the prices have come down as well. English wine didn't used to be very accessible, very much, farm gate sales or very niche restaurants. But now, because of the scale of operation of the English wine industry, you can pretty much buy it on every supermarket shelf and most restaurants.
So you're basically saying that British producers are now massively increasing their output so they can offer lower prices?
Absolutely. And but the key thing is to maintain the quality. We won't bend on the quality. But with the economies of scale, we've been able to get the prices just right so it's accessible to people. And we are very big consumers of sparkling wine here in the UK. I think per head we're one of the largest drinkers of Prosecco and champagne in the world. And the fact we've got our own homegrown produce, we're making massive inroads into the more traditional sparkling wine producing nations.
And Chris, the fantastic weather we had this year, that presumably resulted in a record grape harvest. So a truly sort of vintage year for wine production.
Absolutely. And not just that, it was probably our largest year ever. But quite often with big years, it means that the yield can be struggling to ripen. But the weather was just so good this year. We managed a record harvest as well as fantastic quality. So the winemakers are absolutely spoilt this year of choice of what they can make with the fantastic grapes we got in.
I bet you're very happy this year. You're the largest wine producer in the country, and the Chalk Valley Sparkling Brut retails for about £16 a bottle, is that?
That's right, yes, through that one is through Morrison's.
And that's available in Morrison's. Now, how would you describe very briefly what that tastes like?
Well, again, it's bottle fermented. It's very well refined. It hasn't got perhaps the searing acidity that some of the champagnes have got. It's got a good balance of acidity in the wine. But also there's the very hint in this particular one, a very hint of fruitiness in it. So it really does compete across the board with the Proseccos as well as the champagnes.
Mm, I read it was described as a brisk fizz with a tropical fruity flavour. Do you think that's accurate?
Absolutely, yeah.
And you're also selling other sparkling wines. I suppose it's really going to be quite important for the Christmas period through other outlets, aren't you?
We are, yes. We have a very big range. This year we have seen our sales literally go through the roof. So we have a range of 7 sparkling wines now, and yes, we sell them through many different outlets now, which is very exciting for us.
So White Downs English sparkling wine, Rosé
yes.
English sparkling wine, and a very competitive cost, about sort of £15 roughly.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, in restaurants as well as supermarkets.
Yeah. Now, Denby's scored 77% in the Witch Taste Test, so congratulations on that achievement. You already have the Royal Seal of Approval. Her Majesty the Queen serves Denby's wine, I hear. And by the way, my bottle hasn't actually arrived yet, but, you know, don't worry about that. Congratulations, and thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Chris White, CEO of Denby's Wine Estate in Dorking. And you know what? This is what we all need once in a while. Here's Leanne Rimes, good friends and a glass of wine.